guest today is Mitchell Gerber. He is the advocacy director for StopOrganHarvesting.org, and he has been actually threatened because of his activities, and he has been threatened by the Chinese regime, so you must be being very effective. And it's also important to and I reemphasize, this isn't just murder. The victims are given a drug that paralyzes them. Then they are harvested. Their organs are harvested. While they are alive, they feel what is being done to them. This is so brutal. I can't. It just makes me really sad and mad. It's a horrid thing. Now you have some more. Did you want to talk about the threat from the Chinese regime, or did you want to play another soundtrack?
Depending on how much time we have.
Okay, we have probably 17.5 minutes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so we can play some
clips. Yes.
As well.
Yes, let's do a clip.
Yes, absolutely. And let's do the clip, and then I'll share with you the death threat. This is Ethan Gutman, ladies and gentlemen, Deanna. And Ethan Gutman, again, is a nominee of the Nobel Peace Prize of 2018 for his investigative work. He just published his book about maybe a year or 2 years ago called The Slaughter. It can be downloaded in the format of Kindle or just paperback on Amazon. And The Slaughter definitely is the creme de la creme, just like Bloody Harvest from David Kilgore and David Mattis. And they actually did an update combining all three books, or state organs that you mentioned, Bloody Harvest and The Slaughter, in a 2016 update that they,
wow.
Yeah, that they presented to the subcommittee, the U.S. subcommittee of the Congress of the United States in 2016. But here's Ethan Gutman presenting to the United States Congress.
Thank you.
We're going to piece together the story of how mass organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience evolved in China. I spoke with medical professionals, Chinese law enforcement, and over 100 refugees. My interviews began in 2006, and my book, The Slaughter, was published last. Now, I was not the first to examine this issue in depth. That distinction belongs to David Kilgore and David Mattis, the authors of the seminal Bloody Harvest Report of 2006. Nor will I be the last. The World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, a group of Chinese investigators scattered throughout the world, have just completed their own study. Now, based on our collective evidence, here is a brief timeline of what we know. In 1994, the first live organ harvests of death row prisoners were performed on the execution grounds of Xinjiang in northwest China. In 1997, following the Gulja massacre, the first political prisoners, Uyghur activists, were harvested on behalf of high-ranking Chinese Communist Party cadres. In 1999, Chinese state security launched its largest action scale since the Cultural Revolution, the eradication of Falun Gong. In 2000, hospitals across China began ramping up their facilities to what would become an unprecedented explosion in China's transplant activity. And by the end of that year, well over 1 million Falun Gong practitioners were incarcerated in labor camps, detention centers, psychiatric facilities, and black jails. By 2001, Chinese military hospitals were unambiguously targeting select Falun Gong prisoners for organ harvesting. By 2003, the first Tibetans were being targeted as well. And by the end of 2005, China's transplant apparatus had increased so dramatically that a tissue-matched organ could be located within 2 weeks for any foreign organ tourist with cash on hand. Well, the execution of death row prisoners, hardened criminals, supplied some of the organs. The majority were extracted from Falun Gong practitioners. And this was a fact that wasn't even being kept all that secret from the prisoner population visiting foreign surgeons or potential customers. Now, Kilgore and Modis estimate 41,500 transplants were sourced from Falun Gong between 2000 to 2005. I estimate 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners were murdered for their organs from 2000 to 2008. The World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong believes the numbers are more likely in the hundreds of thousands. In early 2006, the Epoch Times revealed the first allegations of the organ harvesting of Falun Gong and was followed by the Kilgore Modis report. By 2008, many analysts, and I was among them, assumed that the Chinese state would stop harvesting prisoners of conscience for fear of international condemnation during the Beijing Olympics. Yet the physical examination of Falun Gong prisoners for their retail organs actually showed a slight uptick. While China's hospitals have maintained strict internet silence on their transplant activity since 2006, the hiring of transplant teams at many of the most notorious hospitals for harvesting prisoners of conscience is actually on the increase. In a handful of hospitals, for example, Beijing 309 Military Hospital, it's practically exponential. Now, witness accounts shed some light on this mystery. One spoke to me about 500 Falun Gong prisoners having been examined for their organs in a single day. That is the largest cattle call that I know of. A Western doctor was recently assured by a Chinese military hospital surgeon that prisoners are still being slaughtered for their organs. And Falun Gong practitioners across China's provinces have described police forcibly administering blood tests and DNA cheek swabs, not in prison, not in a detention center, but in their homes.
Do you think the U.S. government reporting on the issue of organ harvesting has been sufficient? Have you found receptivity to your research at the U.S. Department of State? And what would be your recommendations to the U.S. government and Congress on how to combat the problem of organ tourism?
Best we can do, maybe, is at least limit our own moral decay in these areas. That is, so we take the Google. This is, you know, I've always argued this in business, that Google should not be in China. Google should be out of China. Cisco should have been completely banned from China. They should have really been held to terms for what they did in terms of surveillance, and they actually were holding a database that was allowed to arrest Falun Gong practitioners. But the same is true here in the medical field. We're allowing this to just go on. We're allowing doctors, you know, there are doctors in the Transplantation Society who are considering starting joint ventures in China. This is a line the West can't cross. That is my view, is that if at least we can get to that, we can't agree on everything when it comes to China, and not in Washington, but we can agree on some basic moral principles. And these are basic moral principles. Well, we've sensed that we're crossing a line. We're involved in some terrible way with this kind of atrocities that have been described here today.
So that was Ethan Guttman.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you. One must really ask why there is such a demand for organs. It's a relatively new field. I believe it started about 1969, and there's been a couple of movies about organ transplantation. There was one, The Island, I think it was. Anyway. It's just such an egregious practice. And the doctors and the nurses who engage in this know exactly what they're doing. They have abandoned their vows to do no harm. I'm really kind of ticked off at doctors and nurses who are engaged in this kind of immoral practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're supposed to help people. The Hippocratic Oath states, do no harm.
Absolutely. And the organ transplantation in China has assumed a high priority, ladies and gentlemen, because of a national strategy. Like I mentioned before in the slaughter, the update that was released by Ethan Guttman and can be readily and freely available and read and to be read at intransplantabuse.org. According to China's official transplantation website, China has the largest number of people with liver disease of any country, and the World Health Organization puts the figure at about 100 million.
Wow.
And, you know, this is a national strategy to kill their own citizens to fund a profitable strategy of their sick citizens. So you want to kill a bunch of citizens to maintain the health of their citizens, which seems admirable in the eyes of some people, but it's a complete tale of horror. You can't just kill a bunch of people for no reason, make money off them, and then use them to bring out the best in other people. It doesn't work like that, especially without consent, and especially when, you know, the Chinese traditions keep the body intact.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Keep the body intact.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they also, you have to take drugs for the rest of your life to keep from rejecting that organ, because it is a foreign object in your body. Your body does not recognize it. And when you take these drugs, the drugs have side effects. And more often than not, you could die within 5 years just from the side effects of the drugs. It's just a horrible, horrible practice, a horrible evil. Oh, it's so evil. Okay, you have another soundbite.
Yes, I do. This is Wendy Rogers. This is the director of ethical studies in Australia and works closely with David Kilgore and David Mattis. And I think her testimony is quite striking.
What seems to be unusual about China is that, and I think Ethan Gutman makes this argument brilliantly in his book, is how the Chinese government have solved two problems at once. They've solved a problem of organ shortage along with a problem of dealing with a quite annoying dissident population by using the one to source the other. And it's done on such a wide level with involvement at all levels of government that it's state-sanctioned. It's turned, as Ethan says, it's turned doctors into murderers. And used health reasons to persecute and kill a group that they're not happy with. It's extremely profound evidence about what's happening in China because it is such a secretive system. At the moment, however, though, we've got three reports that have come out over a period of 10 years. The first in 2006, Bloody Harvest, by David Kilgore and David Mattis, used a wide range of evidence and particularly relied on phone calls and interviews and website scrutiny to look at what was going on in China to establish the nature of the trade there. Then Ethan Gutman did his investigation called The Slaughter, which was published in 2014. And he used a different methodology. He interviewed people who'd come out of labour camps and put together a very detailed picture, which he fitted into the political background of China and built up a very compelling story of how the two things had come together, the persecution of the Falun Gong and the rise in transplant medicine. So that was two sources of evidence. Following that, in 2016, we've had a new report published called The Update, Bloody Harvest, The Slaughter, The Update, which is available free to download. And this is an exhaustive report, 600 pages with 2,000 references. And in this report, the authors who joined forces, so we've got Mattis, Gutman and Kilgore, have tried to document the extent of transplant activity in China using a number of innovative methods. So they've looked at the number of hospitals that are licensed to do transplants, the number of hospitals that are not licensed but are nonetheless doing transplants, the numbers of beds in the hospitals, the number of medical staff in the hospitals, reports of how busy the doctors are, reports of bed utilisation rates, and reports of profits being made by transplant in individual hospitals. In terms of withholding credibility from practitioners of Falun Gong just because they're practitioners of Falun Gong, it's an instance of what we call testimonial injustice. It's like not believing someone because of who they are rather than because of what they say and the reasons that what they say might be true. And again, I put it down to the skill of the Chinese government in demonising the practitioners of Falun Gong within China, so that they're, as I understand, you know, can be ostracized or considered to be bad citizens, bad people, and so you shouldn't believe anything they say. But they've also sold that to people who should be able to take a far more critical stance, who haven't been subject to years of Chinese brainwashing, and who should be able to say, okay, it doesn't really matter what this person's spiritual practices are. They're providing me with evidence, and I should listen to this evidence and take it at face value initially. Of course, you're sceptical if you think someone's trying to tell a story to further some political ends. But again, as Ethan's explained, there's no evidence that Falun Gong is a cult of any sort. There's no evidence of political action to try and bring down the Chinese government. There's no evidence of anything other than a deep desire to be left alone to practice their spiritual beliefs in peace and to not be locked up and murdered. And so it seems a very unpleasant and evil form of victim blaming to withhold credibility just because people are practitioners. As far as I'm aware from what's been reported in the media is that Professor Jeremy Chapman regarded it as a load of Falun Gong propaganda, and that I don't think that was the exact words he used, but that was the intent of the words. And I'd read a lot of media at the time, and I can't remember where the other article was, but the other article was a spokeswoman for the Chinese government, and it was almost word for word exactly the same as what Professor Chapman said, and that just made me wonder who was briefing him. Well, the appropriate response would be to at least engage with the literature, I think, to have a look at it. I don't expect them to get translators and check every single source, but to have a look at what's there and then to engage in a dialogue to say, well, there's a problem with using bed utilization rates because of this, or actually transplant doctors, you know, do more transplants than that or do fewer. Just to look at the different indicators that Mattis, Kilgore and Goodman have put together and to say, well, these ones stand up, these ones don't stand up. This is how you could get better information. If they're interested in knowing what's going on in China, they need to be part of the solution in actually identifying what's going on rather than just dismissing attempts. Francis Delmonico said under oath at the US Senate committee hearings that TTS had no access at all to the military hospitals. And I think he said as well that they're aware that they are problematic or similar words. What TTS needs to do to engage with the report is to let go of the idea that this is Falun Gong propaganda. I think there are enough credible accounts, there are enough questions from credible and multiple sources to say, okay, there seems to be a real problem here and it's a terrible problem. How can we help to try and sort out what is actually going on? Because we can't act effectively unless we know what's going on. I think TTS is somehow, for some reason, convinced by the Chinese government or their representatives that this is propaganda, that it's political, and that TTS doesn't want to get involved in anything that's seen as China's internal politics. But if people are being murdered for their organs, you've immediately got a close connection between transplantation and politics. You can't just say we're only interested in transplantation, not in politics.
I think that was a very striking testimony to you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it is the government that is running the program. It's government-sponsored. It's a political matter. It's a matter of genocide. It should be, everybody should be concerned about this, not only in China, but elsewhere. People need to know what organ harvesting means and what it entails. It isn't just a matter of saying, oh, well, that person is dead, so let's go ahead and harvest their organs. No, they kill them. They murder them in the process of harvesting their organs. It's a crime against it's a crime against nature, against anything that's moral. I get very upset about this.
Absolutely. As people should. I mean, as you just heard from Professor Wendy Rogers, TTS is the Transplantation Society, and the World Health Organization has been infiltrated by the Chinese Communist regime. Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, which is a board of doctors that banded together to expose the brutal persecution of Falun Gong and the forced organ harvesting murder against them, actually withdrew a petition twice. 3 million signatures were collected to be presented to the United Nations, and twice the United Nations have still, to this day, remained silent. It's taken 7 years for Amnesty International to say something about this, and the Vatican is complicit in upholding the silencing of the forced organ harvesting genocide, because they are in bed with the communist regime. So it's a very hard battle to win.
It's all about money. Money talks. Money. Money has a very loud voice. Alrighty, we're going to a quick break. We will be right back.
We do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, Quick Target Aqua.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest is Mitchell Gerber. He is the Advocacy Director for StopOrganHarvesting.org. Now, did you have another quick clip, audio clip?
About 5 minutes. Would that suffice?
Do we have time?
You just cut me off when the time is right, and I'll just
okay.
Cut you off.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Falun Gong is a traditional practice of self-cultivation. A practice of slow-moving exercises, meditation, and studying of the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, and trying to adopt those into your life.
While morning exercises had always been popular in China, Falun Gong brought more than just health benefits.
For thousands of years, the Chinese people have believed in Buddhas and Taos and becoming an immortal. Falun Gong really dared to talk about these things. And immediately people took it to heart. Oh, the true ancient good things of China have come back.
However, after 50 years of political campaigns to destroy traditional beliefs, any revival of spirituality was seen as a threat to communist rule.
Since I was 11, I experienced all of the Chinese Communist Party's campaigns. Group after group of good people were targeted. There was no faith, no truth. Falun Gong stood in stark contrast with communist ideology. And so it would be very hard for it to be tolerated by the CCP.
With more practitioners than members in the Communist Party, the party chief, Jiang Zemin, saw it as a threat to his power and overruled the government support of Falun Gong.
Jiang Zemin issued an order, set up a special office called Sixth Office, in charge of nationwide campaign of persecution.
Known as China's Gestapo, the Sixth Hand Agency was above the law and could use any and all means necessary to achieve its sole mission to eliminate Falun Gong. The nationwide campaign began July 1999.
People were disappearing. I couldn't find my friends. You know, one day there were 30 of us in the park, and the next day they're gone. And in the middle of the park, tacked on the tree, was a government declaration that this has been outlawed.
First time I heard about the persecution, I didn't even believe it at the first. And when I heard my mom was into liberal camp, I was very worried. And later on, my sister was put in the liberal camp. My younger brother was put into jail. Basically, my family is just torn apart. When this family is torn apart, I feel inside torn apart.
Outside the labor camps, propaganda campaigns against Falun Gong were running 24/7 on all media.
Like, you turn on the TV, and literally, the only way to describe it is propaganda marathons. You'd have mass book burnings organized by the party, steamrollers going over Falun Gong cassette tapes and CDs.
Essentially, it's a process of demonizing and dehumanizing, you know, incessant propaganda.
In January 2001, Chinese Central Television broadcast this news that people were setting themselves on fire in Tiananmen Square, and they claimed that these were Falun Gong practitioners.
This propaganda story used a mother and her 12-year-old daughter. It was a major turning point in the CCP's campaign.
They turned Tiananmen Square into a movie set, and they used movie techniques to try to create something, but it was staged.
Because state-run media broadcasted constantly for a year, people around China, their views on Falun Gong started to change.
Initially, the Communist Party was very public about its campaign against Falun Gong. But what happened after Baozi started from 2002 is that you started to see really almost more of a media blackout. Falun Gong simply became a taboo topic.
With millions of practitioners in detention, one of the worst crimes in history began taking place in hospitals throughout the country as organ transplants suddenly began to skyrocket.
We've been asked to investigate allegations that there has been harvesting of organs of Falun Gong in China. Our bottom line conclusion after considering everything as best we could was that the allegations are true.
I began conducting comprehensive interviews with medical professionals, Chinese law enforcement personnel, and over 50 refugees from the Laogai system. But I estimate that 65,000 Falun Gong were murdered for their organs from 2000 to 2008.
Essentially, what organ harvesting means is they're taking Falun Gong practitioners literally like cattle, holding in prison camps, testing their blood and other vital organs, and when someone comes into the country that needs a heart, a liver, a kidney, they find a match, they take the Falun Gong practitioner, extract their organs, of course, killing them in the process.
So that was from an award-winning documentary. Scoop Films, I thought that was very striking to share.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we're just about to a break here. Yes, no? Oh, 15 seconds, okay.
Right.
Well, yes, what of their families? It's just, oh my gosh. What an evil, evil thing. And I think it comes from a psychopathic mind that feels no guilt, feels no remorse. I don't know. It's hard to imagine. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. Welcome back. This is Deanna.
And our guest today, a very brave man, is Mitchell Gerber. He is the advocacy director for StopOrganHarvesting.org. And you have some more audio clips.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to share about my death threat. In 2004, 2005, I was 25 years old, actually. I'm now 38, but I've dedicated, like I said, 17 years of my life to this cause. Because, you know, when something touches you so deeply inside, you are compelled to act. And when everyone thought, you know what, Mitch, go out and just, you know, make money, rise to the top, travel around the world, indulge yourself with beautiful women, fast cars, luxury apartments. I said, no, I have a mission. I need to take on this mission to do what needs to be done for other people. Because what is a man who cannot make the world a better place? And to save one person or to help one person is to help the entire world completely. So I took it upon myself for no money, no fame, no fortune, to leave no name and seek no reward, ladies and gentlemen, but to follow my heart and do the right thing so one day I can look back when I'm about to depart on this world and know that I've stood on the right side of destiny. And you know what, Deanna, before I actually play the clips, I just want to take my hat up to you and your producer and your entire RBN network for allowing me, including your wonderful listeners, for lending me your ears, lending me your hearts. I know how busy you are. You have busy schedules. You are professionals. You have families and friends and so much going on in the world. and allowing me the opportunity to make history with you, to come together with you, to invite me into your wonderful home and allow me to share about the Falun Gong and to share about this terrible, inhumane atrocity and clarify the truth to you. So I just want to thank you very much. And this is wonderful.
Well, I have a mission too. And it's my mission is to have guests like you to tell the truth. And I applaud you greatly for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, the next clip I would like to play is from the Roundtable Coalition. It was a series, a four-part series on YouTube, free of charge, if you just type in Roundtable Coalition of Falun Gong. It's the David Kilgore, David Mattis, Ethan Gutman, along with Anastasia Lin and Matthew Robinson, an award-winning investigative journalist as well, who came together with Chris Chappelle, who hosts the wonderful show on YouTube called China Uncensored, a great show also to check out on YouTube. And I'd love to share, I have two clips from the show, this, just to pinpoint and to highlight some of the testimony from these investigators. So here we go.
For over a decade, the Chinese Communist Party has been butchering thousands of prisoners of conscience for their organs, one of the most horrific genocides in modern history. Doctors schedule an exact day that foreign patients get an organ, whereas in the U.S., it usually takes around 2 years to find a match. How do we know this is happening? So are these live organ harvests?
Yeah. I mean, organ transplantation in China is different from everywhere else in the world, because everywhere else in the world, you're dealing either with live donors who, after the donation, are still alive, brain-dead donors who are obviously brain-dead after the transplants as well. In China, you get people killed through the organ extraction, and that's only in China.
How is getting an organ in China different from anywhere else in the world?
Nowhere else in the world, to my knowledge, is the donor killed in the process. If you get a kidney from X country, you're probably getting one kidney and somebody's being paid a certain amount of money. It's not good for their health, of course, but in China, the donor is dead and the body's burned. And that's something that people find very hard to accept.
And from the patient experience, there's a couple ways it's different. One is militarization. I mean, you don't normally have military personnel operating on you for transplant elsewhere, but that's true in China. Another is they send you to the courts to figure out where to get the organ from. Or the courts don't normally serve as organ distribution centers anywhere else, but they certainly do in China. And another is the form of payment. It's often these red envelopes. You know, there's a lot of cash being thrown around, high amounts. It just reeks of corruption and undercover activity.
Don't we estimate that it's about $8 or $9 billion a year they're getting now out of their industrial scale? That's a lot of people, a lot of salaries.
I think our challenge all along has been to convince the diehard skeptics. And the original thought behind that was to try to bring this issue into one tangible thing that you can hold in your hand and kind of move around. First of all, they don't read the stuff. I mean, so that already makes it very difficult.
Very difficult to do.
I've met with former senior people at major human rights organizations, and they don't know that it's for real. They don't think it's for real. They're like, oh, yeah, that issue. Yeah, but I thought it's like a bit, you know, thrown together. They don't have this idea that it's like totally for real, because it is such a difficult issue to study. Like, if you look at any other major human rights issue in China over the last, like, 20 years or so, you know, for others, you've got, like, some document, for example, looking at orphanages in China that just, like, killed babies. Like, they let them starve to death in the cold. You know, in that case, there was someone who came out, like a doctor who escaped with a duffel bag of documents. And so that, like, you know, makes that one bulletproof. I mean, it's totally extraordinary. This was, like, the biggest story, China human rights story. But, like, this one is, like, so crazy. You have to go about it systematically. So you have to whack like 3, 4, 5 moles at once, because people always have these different objections to like, well, how do you know it's not death row? Like, how do you really know it's not death row? How do you really, really, really know it's not death row?
I think, you know, the person who I thought explained all this best with the various research methods that were coming out there is Matt Robertson, because he really went through in one article he did called A Hospital Built for Murder. He went through comprehensively all the different approaches, or what he called guerrilla numbers, to establishing transplant.
It's a brilliant article, Matt.
Yeah, and that was on one hospital.
Anyway, the Tianjin, the whole point of that was to eliminate objections. Just going by that one hospital, you can be like, if at least you can show that in this hospital, there's something really screwy going on. Like, first of all, that there's way more transplants than can be explained by the official explanation. In 2006, they built a new building with 500 beds, 17 stories. It was funded by the Tianjin government. 2006, like the next year, they moved a death row approval to the Supreme People's Court, and they severely dropped the number of people on death row. So the first thing is you show the numbers are really big. And so, for example, you've got like 500 beds, and then the occupancy of those beds for kidney and liver transplants is like 90%. On their website, they say the average waiting time is 3 to 4 weeks. And so if you say, you know, you've got the beds are occupied to like, you know, 350 beds occupied at any one time, and you can also cross-reference it with the surgeons they have there. So they've got like a massive surgical team. Like 60, 70 surgeons. They've got like their, you know, thick bios. It's not easy to be a transplant doctor. There's a lot of, I mean, it's a lot of work. Like you, it's a very specialized field of medicine. And so, you just put all this together, and the first thing you establish is that the volume is simply huge. So like any skeptics out there who are watching this, like they have to explain who else is being killed. So they don't think like, Falun Gong, this is too crazy. Then it's like, okay, so who?
So that was one of the sound bites from the Round Table Coalition that I urge people to watch on YouTube.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I think that it's because you don't hear about it on the national news. They're not reporting on this on NBC, ABC. No one is reporting on this. And the only thing that we do here is how great it is that somebody got an organ transplant and now can live. You don't hear about the other side, where that transplant came from and what was sacrificed in the getting of that organ. And I don't think the people would, I guess it just seems kind of unbelievable to the common person that they would murder somebody while harvesting their organs. It's just such a savage kind of a thing. And they said that it was very hard for doctors to be transplant surgeons because the doctors and the nurses know exactly what they're doing. It is not like like they are just, they know exactly what they're doing. They know that when they put that paralyzing drug in the person, the victim, they know what that drug is going to do. They know that that person is alive. The nurses are standing by. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it anyway, despite the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
So I guess that's what makes it so incredible.
Yes, they're turning doctors into murderers. Thousands
yes.
of doctors, murderers all around China, funded and led by the military, the Chinese military, from the highest levels to the lowest levels.
Well, doctors are licensed to kill. Whether you're talking about China or whether you're talking about the United States, they get a license to do things to people's bodies that a regular person would be arrested for doing the exact same thing. But they have a license. The government has given them a license, and so it's okay to do something that would be illegal for a common person to do.
Absolutely. And an $8 billion industry a year, I mean, it's... And then not to mention the plastinization and the embalming of the Falun Gong bodies and selling them off to the Body World exhibitions that are touring the UK.
What?
Yes, there was a recent article that also came out from NTD TV investigated the Body Worlds that was created by this German entrepreneur, Ben Hagen, I believe his name, that in collusion with one of the perpetrators of the communist regime's brutal persecution of Falun Gong, his name is Bo Xilai, was actually one of the right-hand men in the early stages of the persecution, Jiang Zemin. And he, Bo Xilai, together with his wife, the mayor of Dalian City, one of the biggest, deadliest hubs of forced organ harvesting and persecution of Falun Gong, were using the Falun Gong bodies after extracting all the organs, plasticizing them, and then selling the dead bodies to the body world, and they are being put on display. So when you go to the exhibitions, you see that they are Chinese, and they've been placed in the most very eerie kind of state of display, from sexual activity to playing tennis to sports. I mean, it's disgusting. It's really sick. And they have investigated that this is indeed Falun Gong bodies. They were sold off and put on display to make at least a $60 million profit off this body worlds. Shocking, I know. It's very shocking.
That's sick.
What people do for money.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
And who would want to see that kind of thing? Seriously. What kind of person would want to look at stuff like that? I don't get it.
Well, when the morale, the decay of morality has reached an all-time low, and you see the degeneration of the minds.
Yes.
You see it in the United States with the left. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize, you know, and that's a whole new story, but how the communist regime, it's a whole new segment to discuss, a whole new topic to discuss, but when you see how the communist regime is infiltrated into the Western societies in order to use the communist-style Marxist groupthink ideology, political correctness, common core, taking away the guns, all this kind of...
Absolutely.
This is what you see, and the Republic is in danger, and conservative websites, there has been a massive purge of conservative websites, conservative talk shows, Facebook pages, YouTube channels, right now as we speak, to censor what is happening. And this is all from the source from communist China. Anyway, I'm not sure how much time we have left.
Let's see. We have 3 minutes up until the next break.
Okay, well, I don't think we have enough time for a clip. But I would like to read for your audience I'll share with you my death threat. So in 2004, 2005, I was working in a restaurant, and I received 7 calls, one after another, from a 615 number. And I went to myself, what is going on? Who is this person calling me? So I picked up the phone, answered it, and immediately – the voice was basically, this is an international interpreter, and I have a collect call from Beijing. Do you accept? I said, sure, because I automatically knew from the work I was doing at that time, exposing the brutal persecutions, clarifying the truth about Falun Gong. And he explained to me, well, look, I'm going to interpret and translate what the Beijing official is saying to you, and then I will give you time to respond. And he said, you know, Nicholas Gerber, you are a great threat to our nation of China. We know where you are and who you are. If you don't give up what you are doing, we will kill more Falun Gong petitioners and come after you.
Wow.
And I said to them, well, until every Falun Gong petitioner and prisoner of conscience is released from labor camps, death camps. And at that time, I didn't know that the organ harvesting was going on. Only after 2006, when David Kilgore and David Mattis released and confirmed the allegations, that we know about this horrific tale of horror. But at that time, only the persecution, the torture methods that were going on. And I said, well, until they all are released, we will continue to expose. I hate nobody. I'm not political. I'm not against you. But I am going to stand up to expose this evil that you are causing and brutal persecution against innocent people and prisoners of conscience, like Falun Gong practitioners. And they said, well, we're going to kill more practitioners and you can die. And your family are going to, we're going to harm you and your family. So I put the phone down. I went to the local police because my car was also broken into. And all they went after was the Falun Gong material that I used to expose at Georgia State University, where I established a human rights group after being the president of the chapter of Amnesty International at that university, and at the University of Georgia, where I was doing international business. And I went to the FBI, and two men in black, a Taiwanese gentleman and an American, both Americans, came and bought me lunch in Atlanta, because the FBI headquarters are located in Atlanta, just like the CDC. It's a huge strategic position, Atlanta, Georgia. Headquarters CDC, headquarters FBI, among other government agencies. And they told me, look, the Chinese Communist regime are monitoring you. We know full well that they are. And they have also infiltrated the universities through their Chinese organizations and associations, which are actual operatives that have infiltrated the liberal and the United States universities to keep a monitor in the United States.
Wow. All righty. We're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Mitchell Gerber. He is the advocacy director for StopOrganHarvesting.org. And it's wonderful to have you on the program today. We have about 3 minutes until we go to the top of the hour. I'm not sure which clip we're on. I want to make sure that we get them all in that you wanted to play.
We can play a short one. This is continuing on from the Roundtable Coalition with Matthew Robinson, David Kilgore, David Mattis, Anastasia Lynn, and Ethan Gutman. And we can play till we got a break, and then just allow me to know when I can cut it off.
Okay.
Okay.
Before 1999, the Chinese government actually actively promoted Falun Gong as this way to improve health. It's part of the Qigong movement. At that time, it's not just Falun Gong. There are hundreds of other Qigong movements that emerged.
State media?
They were promoting it not only in state media, they also got give a word to Falun Gong for improving the health, the general state of the population. Falun Gong is more than just the practice that's beneficial to the health. It also has a spiritual side. That is, there are three principles: truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. And these Falun Gong practitioners are encouraged to use these three principles to judge their daily action, their daily decisions. And because of that, they sort of rely on their own conscience and their own judgment. They don't follow the communist propaganda anymore. And for communists, that's an ideological challenge.
So how do you go from a practice that is promoted, it helps people's health, it preaches the truth, compassion, tolerance, you're saying. How does it go from that to then becoming a cult?
Too many people doing Falun Gong, and that's the numbers.
So because of the culture, a spiritual vacuum after Cultural Revolution, Chinese people, they lost their tradition completely. They lost the spiritual, I believe, everything. And when Qigong exercise emerged, especially in Falun Gong, it became extremely popular. In the course of 7 years, there were 70 million to 100 million people practicing Falun Gong in China. The actual number, we don't know. It might be much higher than that. But because this popularity, 70 million to 100 million at that time in China is about one-tenth of Chinese population. If the Communist Party is going to persecute one-tenth of Chinese people, one out of 10 Chinese people, they need to turn the public opinion around. For people like us who live in the South, maybe some of us have never heard of Falun Gong before because we're not really tuned into that Qigong yoga movement thing anyway. I was a kid. That persecution, that propaganda on TV every day, in every level of media, really did the damage. And when the Western world first got to know Falun Gong, it was after the persecution started.
I think we have to put this in the context of intolerance generally. I mean, if you wouldn't ask, you know, what is it about Christianity that makes ISIS goes after Christians? Or...
What we found, though, is real cults have angry people who've left. That's what you have. You have people who've left the thing and they hate it. It's consumed their lives and they're mad as hell and they can't stop telling the world about it. So if you go to Children of God's website, post Children of God, you will find dramatic stories. If you go to the Scientologist, you'll find incredible stuff. If you go to a Divine Light Mission, you'll find these kinds of stories. You will not find this website for Falun Gong. You will find it Chinese.
All righty. We are at the top of the hour. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.